Please sit for the first reading. And our first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 7. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If it's comfortable for you to stand, please stand for our gospel reading.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word has enduring relevance. Thank you that it's living and active and therefore speaks into each and every situation. So please, Lord, speak to us this morning. Help us to be ready to listen, ready to learn, and ready to respond rightly. For your name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Please do sit down. Well, I'm guessing that many of us, having watched the Prime Minister's briefing yesterday evening, will have come to church this morning feeling a number of things. Some of us will be feeling increasingly anxious as we saw those graphs and heard the data. Some of us will be worried about our own health or the health of those we know and love. Some will be worrying about finances, either our own business interests or on behalf of others we know, whose job prospects are looking less bright. Many of us will be feeling deflated and weary, knowing what lockdown was like last time. Some of us will be feeling deeply frustrated that these circumstances are continuing. Well, I trust that these two readings from Isaiah and Matthew 11 are exactly what we need to hear this morning. I wonder if you noticed how similar they are. Separated by hundreds of years and written in different circumstances, both issue a gracious invitation to all who would accept. Both encourage us to come with open hands, empty hands, and yet receive wonderful things. Both contain beautiful promises. Both call us to listen and learn, to still ourselves before God. Well, I'd love you to take the service sheet away and look at both those invitations. We're going to focus just on the second one this morning briefly in Matthew chapter 11. And there are two things we're going to see, I hope, in these verses. First of all, in verses 25 to 27, we're going to see what the right posture is. And then secondly, in verses 28 to 30, the right saviour. So the right posture, firstly. The right posture here is neediness. Revealed in this prayer on Jesus' lips is the secret of the way the kingdom works. And it's completely opposite to the way the world around us works. I wonder if you notice that as Jesus speaks out that prayer. He talks of things being hidden from the wise and learned, those who we think of as being the people with the best information, and revealed instead to little children. Do you see how that's upside down compared to what we might think? And what that urges us to do is to be like little children, to come to Jesus as those who are needy. In fact, to deliberately be needy before him, to depend on him, to lean on him, to trust him. Now, we may be feeling quite needy at the moment as we are contemplating what lies ahead, but I know my own tendency is very quickly to become self-sufficient and self-satisfied again, to find my own ways of sorting things out, and to lose that sense of neediness before God, that sense of humility before my Heavenly Father. So let's be those over the coming days and weeks who deliberately feel comfortable with our neediness, accepting our weakness, our inability to control many of the circumstances around us. And let's know that that is the right posture before our Heavenly Father. Notice in verse 26 that the Father actually takes pleasure in us coming before him as little children. So let's not be embarrassed to do that. Let's not feel we need to puff up our chests before him and pretend that we have lots to offer him. No, instead, let's be those who are weak and humble and needy. So that's the first thing, the right posture before our Heavenly Father. And then if you turn over the page to see verses 28 to 30, the right saviour, the right saviour. We find beautiful words of invitation here. Come to me. So we focused on our posture before our Heavenly Father, and now our relationship with his Son, the Lord Jesus. Come to me, Jesus says. All you who are weary and burdened. Well, we may well feel like that very readily this morning. And I take it that because Jesus isn't specific here about that weariness and that burden, it applies in all sorts of ways. I think from the context, Jesus partly has in mind the burden of the way in which the Jewish law was being interpreted at that time. So the way in which the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were burdening people. In fact, later in Matthew's Gospel, he specifically criticizes the Jewish authorities for burdening people beyond what they could bear, telling them that in order to be accepted before God, there were all sorts of things they had to do rightly. And of course, that gave the Pharisees and teachers of the law great reason to puff up their chest and seem very confident, and reason for others to feel despair. In fact, the very people Jesus spent most of his time with, the outcasts. And Jesus criticizes them and says, that is completely wrong. That's nonsense. All the way through Scripture, it has been God's grace that is important. It's about us coming to him in need and dependence and relying on his grace. So that's one way in which Jesus is speaking of a burden. But it's far more than that too. He's speaking of the burden of sin and regret that we might have in our lives. He's speaking of the burdens of anxiety and fear and sadness, all sorts of things that might weigh us down in life. And notice his wonderful promise. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He will take the burdens off our shoulders, as it were, as we hand them over to him. Do we trust that? Will we put that trust into practice? Will we really hand over our burdens to him, rather than trying to carry them ourselves through life? So that's what we give over to him. And then there are some things that we take up as well. We take up a yoke, we see that in verse 29 and 30, we'll come to that in a moment. But we also take up learning. Do you see how he challenges us in verse 29? Learn from me. He wants us to sit at his feet and in our humble posture to continue to learn from him. Not to think we've got it all sorted. We know how to go through life. We know how to navigate everything. No, to learn from him. To acknowledge that there's always more to see of him and to learn from him. So what would be those who particularly commit in the coming months to doing that? To sitting at his feet. And look at what he speaks of his character. I am gentle and humble in heart. Isn't it wonderful that when we come to him in our weakness, he doesn't use that opportunity to get one up on us, to taunt us. No, he's gentle and humble in heart. He'll be gentle with us as we come to him in our weakness. I think that's what we fear most, isn't it, about being vulnerable, that we'll be made to look foolish. But if we come to one in our weakness who is gentle and humble in heart, we can trust that he'll deal with us tenderly, lovingly. And this is always his character. So we can trust day by day. That is how he will deal with us. And he promises, as we do that, to find that we will find rest for our souls. I'm sure we can picture what that looks like. That sense of relief. That we're with one we can trust. We're with one who can truly help us. Rest for our souls. The things that might keep us up at night, things that might occupy our minds, taken from us, handed over to him. Rest for our souls. And then the final thing to notice is what he hands to us as we've handed things to him. He speaks twice of a yoke. That might seem a bit strange to us. Having just got rid of our burdens, why would we want to take on anything? Well, in Scripture, it's quite clear that we are always yoked to something. We are always striving for a particular thing, a particular set of priorities or promises that are directing our lives. And Jesus is saying here, rather than taking on those yokes, take on my yoke. It will be less demanding than anything else you might choose to bear on your shoulders. It's also the yoke of God's kingdom, so it's salvation itself, to take on his yoke, to have our lives aligned with his kingdom, where the future really is heading, promises that really will prove to be trustworthy. A yoke, of course, is the wooden bar that would have been put across a pair of cattle, maybe oxen, to pull traditional farming machinery. So it does involve striving, but Jesus promises that that will be striving that is easy and a burden that is light. It speaks of us taking pleasure in what we do for Jesus, how we serve him in our lives. So will we be those who come to our Heavenly Father with the right posture and who remember the right Saviour in the coming weeks and months? Will we be those who take up this invitation day by day and find rest for our souls? Let me lead us in a short time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that there is much that troubles us at the moment. Please help us to be those who come to you with humility, like little children, aware of our neediness, our weakness, coming to you with open hands. And help us too to come to your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Saviour, to take up this invitation, to hand over our burdens and our weariness day by day, to learn from him, to be those who truly find rest for our souls in him. And may we find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This we pray for your glory's sake. Amen.
Amen.